And stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a load of nonsense. If someone has said something about us or to us that is nasty, spiteful, or cruel, no matter how many times we say that little rhyme, the hurt is real. And the hurt remains with us. Boys and girls, this morning, I will be able to tell you, getting called names does hurt. And surely we all know, no matter how thick our skin, the words that people can use have the potential to really damage us, especially when what is said about us is completely false. When what they've said just isn't true. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been falsely accused? Some people's lives have been utterly destroyed by false accusations. People have said things about them that simply weren't true. And it has literally ruined their lives. We can be falsely accused in our place of work. We could be falsely accused in our business dealings. We could be falsely accused by those who live around us, even those in our family circle. We can even find ourselves falsely accused from within the visible church. People reporting things about you. People saying things about you, and they're just not true. If you've experienced anything like that, or if you are experiencing anything like that right now, you should be thankful for Psalm 7. Out of his infinite kindness, in this book of inspired praise, God has given us a song to sing when we are unjustly slandered, when we are falsely accused. If that's your experience this morning, you're in good company. David, the writer of this psalm, a man described as a man after God's own heart, he was falsely accused. And of course, this song also speaks of the Lord Jesus, the true and better David. And he knows better than all of us what false accusations are like. So Psalm 7, it's a psalm for when we are falsely accused. 3 points from the psalm this morning. Firstly, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by false accusations. Don't be surprised. Now, the title of this psalm raises a couple of matters that are somewhat unclear. It reads, "A Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite." Firstly, the heading, this is the only occurrence of the word Shigayon in the Psalms. And really, we have to put up our hands. We're not exactly sure what this word means. It seems to be a title for a certain type of psalm, but we don't exactly know what it means. But we don't really need to worry. It doesn't affect the meaning or the understanding of the psalm. But then we have the circumstance in this title as well. It reads, "Which David sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite." And again, we don't exactly know these details. We don't know who this man Cush was. But we do know he was of the tribe of Benjamin, the same tribe as King Saul. And if you're familiar with the life of David, you'll know that Saul couldn't stand David. There was no love lost between Saul and David. When David came to the throne after Saul's death, Saul still had his supporters. They didn't like David one bit, and they spread lies and slander about David. Have you heard? Have you heard what David did? Did you hear what's going on in David's family? Do you know what David has got up to? And so on. In verse 4, we're given a little hint about the accusations coming David's way. And again, we're not told all the details. in a way, that's good, because it means this psalm is more general and can be applied to our general lives. But verse 4 does hint at what the accusers have been saying. They've been accusing David of repaying his friend with evil, plundering his enemy. They're spreading this slander. They're telling these lies about David. Of course, if you know what happened between David and Saul, that was utterly, utterly false about David. David always honored King Saul. He could have killed him on numerous occasions, but he didn't. He repeatedly spared his life because he believed Saul was God's appointed king. That didn't stop the enemies and their lies. And over again, these false accusations spread against David. How do you think David feels? Verse 2, he describes them like a lion that would tear his soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. So painful are these false accusations coming his way that he feels as if a ferocious, roaring lion was stripping him bare to the bone. He is cut to the bone. That's how he feels. Hated without reason. You'll remember, that's how Jesus found things in this world. They falsely accused him. They hated him without reason. They spread lies and falsehoods about him. Matthew 11, verse 19. He's called a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus wasn't a glutton. He wasn't a drunkard. He just wanted to come alongside sinners. He wanted to tell them the gospel. But people accused him falsely. And how he must have felt as if they were ripping him to pieces. Hated without reason. Falsely accused. Friends, surely the life of David and the life of Christ and the life of almost every man and woman of faith, surely they should teach us, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by false accusations. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, expect it to be likewise. Don't be surprised if you're hated without reason. Don't be surprised if you have lies spread about you. John 3, 19 and 20. People love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Darkness hates the light, often without reason. Christians all over the world this morning finding themselves in prison, unjustly treated, unfairly accused. There are Christians unfairly dismissed from jobs or positions because of slanderous accusations made against them. Boys and girls all over the world find other children saying nasty things about them just because they love Jesus. Of course, who's behind every false accusation? Well, it's the devil. In Revelation 12, verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of the brothers, accusing them day and night before God. Revelation 12, verse 10. Do you know anything of his accusations? Satan himself coming to the believer. Oh, you couldn't be a Christian. How could you be a Christian? How could you be a follower of Jesus? Look at the mess in your life. Look at the mess in your family. How could you be a Christian? He's the accuser of the brethren. Have you heard his accusers, his accusations, friends? I know I have. Maybe you've heard him this week. Be warned. Don't be surprised by false accusations. Behind it all is the accuser of the brethren. Be warned, put on the full armor of God, that you might be ready to stand firm against them. It would say we should also be very wary about what we hear about other believers. Be very wary. Certainly don't pass it on, because the devil is busy slandering, bringing false accusations against the people of God. Christians, like their Savior, are often falsely accused. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Secondly, don't be slow to tell God about false accusations. Don't be slow to tell God about these false accusations. Don't be slow to tell him. I think really that's what this psalm is all about. David pouring out his heart to God, relating this situation to God. How do we respond? How do we respond when we are accused falsely or unfairly slandered? Well, surely our response is to burst with a response of anger. We want to get our own back, don't we? We want to lash out. Is that how we're to respond? Should we seek to defend our name at all costs? Should we insist on our rights, challenge our accusers, to vindicate our name and our honor? Well, I do think that on occasions, friends, there are to be times in our lives that for the good of the gospel, we perhaps should stand up to false accusations. That happened, didn't it, at times in Paul's life. He exercised his rights, for instance, as a Roman citizen for the good of the gospel and for the good of the church. But very, very rarely. The dominant response we find in the Scriptures when it comes to false accusations is to always, always, always take it to God. Take it to God. Verse 1. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. We commit ourselves to him. Verses 3 to 5, David tells God all about the situation. He says, God, if there's guilt on my hands, bring your judgment. Verse 8, it's similar. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to the integrity that's in me. Now, David, he's not claiming to be perfect here. He's not claiming perfection, but he knows he's innocent of this particular crime. And the first thing he does, he brings it to God. My friend, if you have been falsely accused, when you are falsely accused, when somebody says things about you that are nasty and wrong and just plain untrue, the first person you're to speak to about it, it isn't the other individual. It isn't your partner. It isn't an elder. It isn't your pastor. The first person you speak to about it is God. You speak to him about it. Is the devil snapping at your heels, accusing you? You go to God. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. In verses 6 to 8, David asks God to do something about it. Verse 6. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. It seems like you're sleeping here, God. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. He's calling on God. Lord, will you do something about this? This is out of my hands. I'm putting it into your hands. Will you deal with this? That's good, isn't it? That's good, because so often when we try to deal with these things, we just make them worse and we make a mess of things. Not God. Listen to his descriptions of God. Verse 8, the Lord judges the peoples. verse 9, "You who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God." Verse 11, "God is a righteous judge." Can you see? As David hands all this to God, he knows that whilst others may be unsure if David is innocent or not, God knows. Whilst others may have the wool pulled over their eyes, God knows. The one who searches hearts and minds knows. That's what matters to David. Dear friends, are you worried this morning about what others say about you? About what others think about you? It's what God thinks that matters. It's what God thinks that matters. He knows the truth about the situation. He never gets misunderstood. He never heeds misrepresentation. He never gets it wrong. He never believes anything of us that isn't true. He never thinks unfairly of us. He never thinks inaccurately of us. He always thinks what is true about us. And so we take the situation to God. David is a model here too of leaving vengeance to God. We could think well of Romans 12:19. "Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" So when false accusations are fired against us, we aren't to burn with rage. We're not to freeze with fear. And we're certainly not to spiral into bitterness. Hand it all to God. Verse 8, "The Lord judges the peoples." That's where we find rest and peace. After all, this isn't just how David dealt with things. This is how the true and better David dealt with things. Think of Jesus. Think of how he could have called legions of angels to deal with his false accusers. Think of how he could have wiped them all in a flash. But no, he handed it all to God. He took it to his Father. 1 Peter 2:23. "When Christ was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Will you remember this, friends? Will you remember this? In this world, you and I don't need to win. We don't need to win. We don't need to clear our names. We don't need to be seen as right in the eyes of the world. God will win for us if we are innocent. We have this natural tendency within us when people speak ill of us that we must respond, we must win that battle. We don't need to win that battle because God will win for us. Have you been falsely accused? Don't be slow. Don't be slow to tell God about it. Take it to him. Don't be surprised by false accusations. And don't be slow to tell God about them. Thirdly, then, do seek peace from false accusations. Do seek peace from them. Can you see the progression in this psalm? It starts with vivid language, but being ripped into pieces by lions. But as it continues, there's a growing settledness and calmness and peace. It doesn't come all at once. It doesn't happen instantly. I think that's important to notice. But there's a gradual peace. There's a growing assurance that sweeps over David. It comes bit by bit,
until it reaches the climax at the end of the psalm. But it's coming. Verse 10. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. David realizing, you know, God's my shield. And he will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He will keep me. I won't be destroyed by this. Isn't that true? Doesn't he keep you when the world fires its darts? Doesn't he keep you when the accuser himself attacks you head on? Our shield is God Most High. In verse 12, David is confident that ultimately God will act on this. Verse 12, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He thinks of God's coming judgment, and a peace begins to flood his soul. It's like a little boy in a playground, plagued and troubled by bullies. He tells his big brother about it. His big brother says, don't you worry about it. I'll sort it out, don't you worry. Little boy goes back to playing in the playground. Friends, we have a great big brother. Our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is looking after his church. He's looking after all his own. And he hears every false accusation. He sees every unjust imprisonment. He knows about every unfair dismissal. Our older brother knows all about it. Satan and his armies have touched the apple of his eye. And really, we don't ever need to be afraid of our false accusers. But we ought to be afraid for them. We don't need to be afraid of them. We ought to be afraid for them. If they touch the children of God, the apple of his eye, here we see that the sword is already in his hand. The arrow is already on the bow. The judgment is being prepared. We leave our false accusers with God, and he will sort them out. Ultimately in the final judgment, but often here and now, God brings them to justice. That's the sense of verses 15 and 16. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull, his violence descends. Either way, just leave it to God. He will sort them out. And so the psalm ends with a wonderful note of thanksgiving in verse 17. I will give thanks. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Can you see? Here's David, surrounded by his enemies, surrounded by these false accusations, and he says, Lord, I understand what matters. What matters is not what they think about me. What matters is what you think about me. What you say about me, that's what matters. And I'll give thanks to you because of your righteousness, because of how you see me. I'll bless and I'll praise you forever. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, you remember how your Father in heaven sees you. He sees you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what they say out there. Doesn't really matter what people say about you in here. Doesn't matter what those accusations are. You have the righteousness of Christ put to your account. How the God of heaven sees you, that's what matters. That's what you care about. And everything else we give over to him. Of course, we can also be accused correctly. I should say that that is also the message of the Bible. that as God looks at men and women and young people in their sin, his accusation is perfect and true. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty before a holy God. And if you're without Jesus, you have no grounds on which to appeal. But you can be made innocent. This song speaks of how Jesus willingly bore the scorn and the false accusations, so that for those who follow and trust him, we can have his righteousness put to our account. Will you think of that today? One day, God will call you into his holy presence. He's holding his deadly sharp sword. His arrows are already in the bow. How will you be ready for that day? Only through Christ alone. He took that sword upon himself. He took every one of those arrows so that you could have his righteousness, and so that you could be innocent, cleared, not guilty of every accusation. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Will you thank God for this song, a song to sing when you're falsely accused, a song to sing when you're free from guilt and condemnation. Psalm 7, it closes, let us give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and let us sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Amen.